Thomas Decker, how you doing? Welcome to Upcoming Dis.
Hello, Gino. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for taking the time to share with us a little bit today.
No problem. I'm on a small island off of British Columbia, so hopefully my reception doesn't drop.
Well, I can actually hear you very clearly right now, so far, so good. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Well, hey, listen, I just got done watching Fear Clinic, but before I talk to that, I want to give people a little bit of a background here. The first time you came to my notice was during the Star Trek Generations film as a little lad there playing Picard.
Lord.
Playing Picard's potential son, you know, in that rift or whatever that was.
In the Nexus.
Yeah, yes. The Nexus. Yes. That's exactly what it was. So how was it to hang around with some of those icons?
Well, I was 6 years old.
Wow.
And I knew who everybody was at that point, though, even so, and it was crazy. A funny little unknown story is half of that footage when I'm in that is my own hair, and the other half is a wig because I was shooting Village of the Damned for John Carpenter at the same time.
Wow.
And we had to bleach my hair white, and then we came back for reshoots, and they had to throw together a wig in about a day. So that's a pretty scary wig I'm in at six.
Well, that's great. And then you've done quite a few things since then. And I guess the next time you really caught my attention was playing an iconic character of John Connors in the Sarah Connors Chronicles on television. That must have been a wild 2 years.
I was 19 when I got Terminator, and it's such an iconic role. And you know, I was intimidated and scared. But one of the greatest experiences of my life, and still very proud of it.
Yeah. And now Fear Clinic. So how did you find your way to Fear Clinic? It started out as a web series, is my understanding. Did you see any of the web series episodes?
Well, what happened was, actually, I did Fear Clinic basically because of Sarah Connor Chronicles, because the director of Fear Clinic, Rob Hall, was our special effects makeup director on Terminator.
Okay.
And we became best friends from the beginning of the show. And so this is my third feature film with Rob. And we've also done tons of shorts and video art and things I've directed,
mm-hmm.
things he's directed here and there. And so he wanted me to be in the web series before, but I was shooting, I can't remember what I was doing. It might have been the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, but I was, ironically.
Right.
But I wasn't available. And so then when the film came around, he wrote the part for me. And fortunately, I had December open to just jump in and do it. So, yeah, I mean, I really came on board for the project just because I love working with Rob. And, of course, the opportunity to work with such a great cast.
Yeah, and speaking of the cast, I mean, you're talking about the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, and then you got to work with the original Freddy himself now. How was that working with England?
Well, I met Robert once before,
uh-huh.
A couple of years earlier, and, you know, obviously, I'm a huge horror fan and a huge fan of the original Nightmare on Elm Street, so
yeah.
I was very reticent to take the remake, but I needed a nice paycheck at the time. and to my shock, Robert was a fan of a lot of my other work and had been very publicly complimentary of me. And, you know, he could have talked shit about me being any actor being in the remake.
Sure.
But he'd been very kind, and when we had met, we'd sort of said to each other, oh, one day we'll get to work together. And I know that he and I were both very excited when this opportunity came up, you know, to do this with each other. And we only have a couple scenes together in the film.
Right.
Ones that we do, we had a great time to kind of play with it. And the thing about working with Robert is I came to it with, oh my God, it's Freddy Krueger. But about 2 seconds in, you know, to working with him, I completely forgot about Freddy Krueger, because Robert Englund is so much more than Freddy Krueger.
Certainly.
He's just a fantastic, talented, you know, well-trained actor,
yeah.
And so all my intimidation went out the window, and we just had a great time.
Well, let's talk about your character, Blake. Blake is part of a group of people who, I guess, were suffering some kind of disorder because of a shooting that they shared, and so now they're at this clinic, this Fear Clinic, and your character, you've got the toughest job of all, because you have to evolve the most. You have to go from someone who almost can't speak or move to a person who eventually gets some of that back. Take me through that process of developing and evolving that character.
Well, that was definitely, like I said, I would have done it regardless just to do another project with Rob, but what drew me to it was this amazing character that he'd written, and
yeah.
I sort of felt like I was playing five different characters in one film.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, something that I love. I think any actor finds that really exciting, and the sort of beginning of the character when he's so physically incapacitated that I worked on with Rob because he's actually had experience with people who've had brain damage and or are physically disabled, and so we sort of worked on just little things like the hand movements and sort of where the gaze goes and all of that, and, and that was very much a collaborative thing. And then from there, you know, the rest of it, we wanted to keep it very mysterious what had driven Blake, the old Blake, in a way, to be what he was. And it was sort of, there's a nice little moment where, which I actually wrote with Rob at the last minute when we were shooting, where he doesn't remember having tattoos or why.
Right.
Which, of course, are my own tattoos. But we thought, you know, it kind of felt like I was playing an amnesiac, because I basically am. And yeah, so it was just, again, when you've worked with a director, you know, so many times, there's nice unspoken language. I knew the tone of the film. I knew how it was going to look. I knew how it was going to feel. And I think that that's an underrated value for an actor, just to know what the movie itself is going to be. It really helps you. You know, I've said this before. It's like, to me, Jack Nicholson's performance in The Shining is one of the best performances ever. But if it was in any other movie, it would be ridiculous.
Exactly.
He's an actor who understood the heightened level of everything in that movie. And so usually when I work with a director who's good, like Rob, I try to just look at what is the tone going to be of the overall thing and then kind of just follow that, I guess.
Yeah, well, now most films, they aren't filmed in a chronological linear fashion. So I imagine that must make it harder for you to kind of remember where Blake is in his development or evolution. Was there a way that you could anchor yourself to the various places you should have been?
That's kind of like the only homework, I think, that was really necessary and usually is that you have to, you know, I just basically went through the script and made notes of sort of, okay, here's point one, here's point one and a half, here's point four, here's point nine, and then kind of keep those marked in the script while we shoot. And then when I go to the scene number, I go, okay, so this is where we're at. And hopefully that, you know, that is the only scary thing, is that you're not getting to see the film until it's finished, and you just hope that it sort of has a cohesive shape to it.
Well, you hope you hit the right beats at the right time.
Exactly, yeah, and you kind of have no way of knowing other than trusting your director, which is why it's very, very lucky that I do trust Rob so much. And that was sort of it was a funny thing, because the movie, as you've seen it, is such a mindfuck.
Yes.
And the majority of the actors, I think other than Robert and I, had never worked with Rob. And it was such a fast shoot, because we weren't a low-budget film, but for the size of the movie that it is.
Sure.
So everything's very rushed and crazy and insane.
Yeah.
And a lot of the actors, I think, were kind of nervous at one point or another about what the hell's going on. And I sort of ended up being the go-to person to be like, look, it's going to work out.
Yeah.
I promise you. It's going to get there. It'll be fine.
Now, one of your critical scenes is, I have to ask you, what it was like to be laying in that fear chamber with this Robert Englund in that weird mask staring over your face. That had to have been fun.
Well, you'd be surprised, actually, because what's funny is, you know, one of the questions has been, what phobias do the actors have?
Right.
My phobia definitely is claustrophobia.
Oh.
So the only thing that I actually was dreading the entire shoot was getting in the fucking chamber.
Mm-hmm.
That was the part that I was, because although, you know, you can open it, it's not as sort of sealed and locked
right.
as it appears in the movie. It's a very heavy door,
yeah,
and you are basically trapped in a very small coffin.
Yeah, it's a very coffin-shaped small thing.
Yeah, and so I was kind of dreading that day, and it wasn't particularly pleasant, but Rob permitted me a couple shots of whiskey, and then I got through it. But ironically, the thing that's supposed to cure your fears was like the only thing I was really scared to do.
Did it make it worse? Because there seemed like there's this plastic thing over your face, too. So, like, your face was covered, kind of, when you were in there. Did that make it worse or easier?
Yeah, absolutely. And it looks like there's an oxygen tube or whatever coming out, but there isn't in reality. So you're just breathing your own air in this tiny little space. And, yeah, I didn't enjoy that too much. But hey, everybody in the movie had to brave the chamber, so...
Well, now you say you're a fan of horror movies. What are some of your favorite horror movies? What are the ones that really scared you?
I mean, my favorite film of all of last year, for instance, was The Babadook. I just loved it. I don't know if you saw that movie, I thought it was fantastic and a great example of how horror will continue to thrive. I mean, but look, I love everything from the comedic splatter movies. I love sort of Texas Chainsaw Chainsaw era. I love Argento. I love Polanski. I love, I mean, John Carpenter is one of my, I know for Rob and I, when we were doing Fear Clinic, Rob and I basically would just play the Prince of Darkness soundtrack sort of all day long. And we were sort of, I think our mutual goal was to make a modern day Prince of Darkness. We're both huge Carpenter fans. And we listened to, you know, on the past two films, we scored them together. So music for us, he would play, like, the score to the remake Maniac that came out a couple years ago lot for a lot of my scenes where audio wasn't that crucial. And, I'm just a huge horror fan and always have been ever since I was a kid.
So what's up next for you?
Well, I have a new TV series airing on Fox. We just aired our second episode. It's a great show called Backstrom with Rainn Wilson, and from the creator of Bones, and a really great character that I think is very different from everything people have seen me do, which is really fun. Mm-hmm. And I have another film premiering this Friday that's great that I think you might like, called Enter the Dangerous Mind with Nikki Reed and Jake Hoffman and Scott Bakula and Jason Priestley, and it's a really dark, heavy-duty psychological thriller about a schizophrenic dubstep musician. And I'm directing my first budgeted feature in May called If Only I Could, which is a drama. So there's lots of stuff going on.
So you're keeping yourself busy, and of course Fear Clinic's going to come out on Blu-ray and DVD on the 10th, so we want people to look for that.
Absolutely. I mean, this movie is a total labor of love from a bunch of people who really love the genre, and I think we wanted to bring practical special effects back. We wanted to bring the kind of weird, overly saturated Suspiria kind of universe back. And I think we're all really proud of what we did with what we had.
Well, and some of it looks like a Spider-Man movie gone bad with all that black thready stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? There's so few computer shots. I mean, man, it was really amazing to see what Steve Johnson and Kurtzman and what everybody that came on board did with that creature. It was pretty amazing to see. It was like watching the Human Centipede. You've got like 19 special effects interns crawling along the floor, blowing into trash bags and tubes, getting that thing to move the way it did. It was pretty amazing.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you for sharing the time with us, and I look forward to catching up on some of this other stuff you talked about.
Yeah, please do. Check out Enter the Dangerous Mind. I think you'd dig it.
Will do. Listen, you take care and have yourself a great one.
You too, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, man.